Just want to ask you to pray for me again for a moment. Pray that I'll speak the Lord's words to you, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what He wants you to hear. And let's ask for Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In reading the passage from Matthew chapter 6, it already generated some questions. You're quick on the questions, I tell you, this group. And the questions can help us to understand, so I'm grateful for that, and grateful to share those and some reflections on them. So in talking about going into our room, into the secret place, into the heart, that's not actually saying anything about our external engagement. I tried to describe that in the conference, and it's worth repeating again and again. We can actually be praying without ceasing. And that's very much the goal. In fact, St. Paul says it explicitly in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And Jesus also says, pray without growing weary. It's Luke 18 in the parable of the importunate widow. Pray without growing weary. Pray without ceasing. We can remain in that place of the heart. So again, in that place where we are ourselves, where we're not getting pulled hither and yon by the waves and winds of emotions and feelings and thoughts that are flowing through us, the whirl of activity around us, even being fully engaged in it, exercising all of our faculties and our human strengths and everything else, we can remain in a place where we're also in communion with God, in the heart, praying without ceasing. So someone said, I like to go to adoration. Good. Go to adoration. Spend a lot of time there. Don't go to adoration and simply be superficial. That's what the Pharisees are criticized for. They say a lot of empty words because they're not coming from the heart. Their words are not coming from the heart. The prayer is not coming from the heart. It's empty words. They're only saying the words as a pretext to be seen praying. Praying, in quotes. We can't really call it even prayer. But they're acting like they're praying so that people will think that they're holy. When you go to adoration, pray from the heart. When you go to adoration, spend a long time there and pray from the heart. And when you leave adoration, keep praying. Or likewise, somebody asked about cleaning our faces when we're fasting. You know, it's only in America that we do the whole cross on the forehead thing. Everywhere else, they sprinkle the cross on the just dripping, you know, some ashes on the top of the head, and it's not so visible. It's an American thing. I don't know where we got that from. So wipe it off your forehead if you want to. But really, today, it doesn't do us a lot of good. Nobody says, oh, wow, he's so holy. He went to Ash Wednesday Mass. It really doesn't buy us much credibility in the modern day. So I don't think it makes a lot of difference either way. But there's nothing that says you have to keep the ashes on your forehead. It's meant to be a reminder for us coming into contact with the ashes. And the priest says, man, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Or repent, repent. Turn your heart back to God and believe the gospel. That's the purpose of those practices. But all of those practices, which it naturally encounter our body and involve external behaviors, are not meant to stay external. They're meant to reach the heart, and they're meant to flow from the heart. And that's what I'm emphasizing in these conferences and in the call to repentance. Of course, we need bodily gestures, external gestures, even visible gestures. But the point is not the superficial. The point is the deep place that they're flowing to and flowing from. So also, we heard this prayer of the tax collector And it's a prayer that the Christian tradition has taken up, again, especially originating in the desert of Egypt and then being brought into the Western Church through St. John Cassian and ultimately into the rule of St. Benedict and spread throughout the world, also along with monasticism. But the formula, the words, one expression for this prayer is the Jesus Prayer, and the words that the tax collector speaks are very similar to that. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Christian tradition has altered that a little bit to put Christ there and to acknowledge his incarnation. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Just a very simple prayer. And that's a prayer that can keep us going into the heart. That's the goal of the prayer. Again, not to heap up empty words, not simply to run our mouth. You know, we live in an amazing age when our phones can talk to us. Maybe you have phones like this too that can talk to you. And you can actually pray the Liturgy of the Hours with the phone. That is to say, the phone can pray the Liturgy of the Hours. It's amazing. My iPhone is an expert at morning prayer and evening prayer and midday prayer, and it can just keep praying all day. Now, I'm not sure that that prayer is doing anybody a whole lot of good, because my phone doesn't have a consciousness, a free will, or a soul, right? But my phone can repeat a lot of phrases. So if that's the extent of our prayer, then we might as well be phones. But since we're not phones, we're human beings, that's where we always want the prayer to reach into the heart and to connect in a deep place. And we do that, again, we do that because we're embodied creatures. We're not angels either. And so we can't just live in the realm of abstract thought. We live in the realm of embodied souls. So we feel things and we think things and we have a depth to us. And we want our prayer to bring us into that place and to flow out of that place, that inner room doesn't get full of cobwebs because it's never visited. Enter into the inner room, into the place of the heart. But some phrases, some prayer can help us to do that. And the practice of the Jesus Prayer is a very beautiful one and can help to lead us into the heart. And it's just to repeat over and over, simply, peacefully, not in a rush, not to get it done, not to get it out of the way, but even in a way that it just becomes a part of us, so that even when we're having a conversation, the prayer is still happening in our hearts, that even when we're walking somewhere, the prayer is happening, when we're engaged in work, the prayer is happening, that we are connected with the heart. And that little phrase, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This little simple to recognize that I'm in need of His mercy, to recognize who my God is, Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not really thinking about these things so much when offering the prayer, but it's rich. My thoughts may move in that direction, move in another direction, connecting with my incarnate Lord, connecting with my own sinfulness, receiving His mercy and His love for me. And as we pray it steadily, what often happens when we enter into prayer is it's something like, Lord Jesus Christ, ooh, forgot to turn off the oven. Lord Jesus Christ, wonder what's for lunch. Lord Jesus Christ, I wonder what that person thinks about me. Lord Jesus Christ, I wonder what I have to do next week. Lord Jesus Christ, I wonder if my husband's destroyed the house yet. Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that's, and I say that with, we should laugh at ourselves a little bit, but what happens is we start to become aware of all of that random stuff. There's a lot of random stuff in there. And we can choose to continue the prayer. And when we continue the prayer, we can also have a way of scooping up some of that random stuff, because other than wondering perhaps what other people are thinking about me, none of the things I said are bad thoughts. Remembering to turn off the oven, wondering if the house is still standing, wondering what we have to do next week or what's for lunch, none of those are bad thoughts. But I can offer them to God. And the prayer has a way of just sort of scooping them up and lifting them up and holding them out to Him. And whatever feelings that go with them, I don't have to suppress those feelings or deny them or hate them or control them or anything else. I can just kind of scoop them up with the prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I can just keep scooping up those thoughts and holding them out to him. And this becomes a way of praying without ceasing. Just want to read a few little segments to you from a beautiful book called The Way of the Pilgrim, which is, it's very simple in one way, it's very readable, but it's very profound. And it is one of the vehicles by which the Jesus Prayer spread widely, especially in Russia, the sort of Russian Orthodox, monastic, etc. movement, but then also broadly throughout the world. And you can find it, it's 150 years old, and it's in, you know, PDF and translated 16 different times and available in public domain. But The Way of the Pilgrim, just a few points. It's about a pilgrim who sets out, he hears a sermon about ceaseless prayer. And he's kind of troubled about that. How do you pray without ceasing? What is that ceaseless prayer? So he goes to find holy people and ask them. One of them responded, ceaseless interior prayer is a continual yearning of the human spirit toward God. To succeed in this consoling exercise, we must pray more often to God to teach us to pray without ceasing. Pray more. And pray more fervently. It is prayer itself which will reveal to you how it can be achieved unceasingly, but it will take some time. So it's a good, it's not a trick. It's not a skill that you can just get the right words or say the right thing and boom, you're there. It's a matter of entering into a relationship which then becomes more continuous. Pray for the grace to pray without ceasing. It's kind of the first answer. And then there's this also this interesting thing that ceaseless interior prayer is a continual yearning of the human spirit toward God. That's something that doesn't have words to it. Sometimes we associate prayer with words too much. Prayer can involve words, but prayer is also a desire, a ceasing, a yearning, a stretching. Our hearts being directed toward him. That's already prayer. St. Augustine said, ultimately, all prayer is an exercise of desire. So we have this thing bubbling up from within us, from the heart. Then another said, pray without ceasing should be understood as referring to the creative prayer of the understanding. The understanding can always be reaching out toward God and praying to him unceasingly. Now, this word understanding is actually the word that I was talking about, this internal vision, this internal watch, this part of us that we step back into, that can always be connecting to God. It's possible to do that even while we're having a conversation or doing other things. We can always have that ongoing connection with God. Just read out one more little description here that leads into the Jesus Prayer. The continuous interior prayer of Jesus is a constant, uninterrupted calling upon the divine name of Jesus with the lips, in the spirit, in the heart. Also, while forming a mental picture of his constant presence, and imploring his grace during every occupation, at all times, in all places, even during sleep. The appeal is couched in these terms, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. One who accustoms himself to this appeal experiences, as a result, so deep a consolation and so great a need to offer the prayer always that he can no longer live without it. And it will continue to voice itself within him of its own accord. This is prayer without ceasing. So also just being aware of his presence. You know, Jesus is always attentive to us. There's never a moment, from the moment you were created to this present moment, there is never a moment that he wasn't paying attention to you. God is constantly attentive to us. And what this unceasing prayer is doing is helping us to become more attentive to Him. The fact that He is with us, the fact that He is watching us, the fact that He is delighting in us, that He is paying attention to us, we're tuning into that. It existed before we paid attention to it. But we learn to pray without ceasing by paying attention more and more to His paying attention to us. And we can do that, we're helped if we form a little mental image. We can imagine Him always at our side. We can imagine Him always walking with us. Maybe we can imagine Him smiling at us. We can imagine Him reaching out a hand to help us. As we get closed into ourselves, this is one of the things that I often find myself doing in prayer. You know, I have a very busy life, and I'm thinking about a lot of things, and then I suddenly realize I'm kneeling before the Blessed Sacrament, and I go, oh, how long have you been there? So nice to see you. Thank you. You know, so just having this sort of letting myself be a little bit embarrassed that I was so caught up in myself and so caught up in my head, but not for that reason hiding any of it, but just turning it inside out and showing it to Him. And knowing that He looks on it not with harshness and anger and criticism and judgment, He looks on it with love, just like we look on a little child who gets so busy in himself and then suddenly realizes there's an adult in the room. Oh, hi, when did you come? Little children, really, so much of what we experience is like little children when we start to pay attention to all of the kind of craziness that we have going on inside. We behave externally like adults. We form that skill over time. But inside, there is a very childlike quality that we have. And when we learn to simply open this up to the Lord and continue turning back to Him, and that's really the key. Continue turning back to Him. And that's what the Jesus Prayer can help us with. Just a little way to keep turning back to Him. As soon as I realize I'm distracted, as soon as I realized I've wandered into some strange space, that I got on one of those trains that was going by and I started judging things or criticizing things, or I started thinking about lunch and how to fill my stomach, or I started getting caught up in some other temptation. As soon as I realize that, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I can just keep turning back and take up that prayer and allow that to turn my heart back to Him again and reconnect compassionately and calmly, reconnect with the One who loves me. So let's try to gather ourselves together as we present our gifts in this Eucharist and as we prepare to receive Him who loves us. Just gather ourselves together, maybe even repeating a number of times internally. The pilgrim was encouraged to pray the Jesus Prayer 12,000 times a day. You can see how serious they were about these things, but it's interesting when we spend that much effort, what starts to happen inside of us as we start to enter a little bit more into the heart, experience some freedom and purification, and turn ourselves back to Him. After all, there are so many other phrases we're repeating 12,000 times a day which are worth much less. But at least we could pray it a little bit internally in the context of the Eucharist as a way of turning our hearts back to Him. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner.